So tonight I am going to talk on the subject of how to study the Word of God. And not just how to study, but you know, what is the Word of God to us? What does it mean to us? And then also I'm going to get into the practicals about how to study the Word of God. Like real practical. Exactly how to do it. Yeah, what to do.
Step by step.
Yes. Instructions. Yes. I will most likely only get through about half of it tonight, and then the next church dinner, the next Wednesday dinner, I will complete it. So I probably won't get into the exactly about how to study it, but what I'm going to start with is, what does it do for us? What will the studying of the Word accomplish? Because, you know, it's important that we have a vision in order to have energy to go after the vision. You have to have a vision. And I believe every one of us here already know that the Word is good. But I want to go deeper than that and really talk about specifics about how good it is, because my hope is that whatever appetite you have for the Word tonight, that it will increase as a result of this. So I would really encourage you to just try your best to pay attention. And the reason I say that is because this could seem somewhat, real basic, mundane, like, oh, I know that. I just would encourage you, if you can, to the best of your ability, think of it in terms of just like clear the slate as if you didn't know anything about the Bible and what it does for you. And listen, because I'm confident if you do that, what will happen is your heart is going to take in more, and then when you get at the when you get on the other end of it, you'll go, you know what? I'm fired up about reading the Word more than I was before I came here. You know what I mean? You'll be receptive to receive the Word and let it go down into your heart. Everything I'm going to tell you is absolutely scripturally based. I'll give you scriptures on it. It's truly the Word of God. Now, some of the things I'm going to say, after a while, it may start to sound like, didn't you kind of already say that? I was very careful in each one of these to make sure that they were different points. But some, I mean, all of it works together, but it's very different. The piston and the crankshaft and the valves work together as a team, but they are very different parts. So it's really important to know them all. So let me start by saying I'm going to address an overall picture, an overall mindset about studying the Word. Really important one. I'm telling you, this has been, I think, the difference between myself and, I would venture to say, the vast majority of the children of God in how, like, I have studied the Word intensely for 30 years, and most of the people of God don't. This is the difference, what I'm about to tell you. It's a mindset. We address the vast majority of our life with one mindset and the Word of God with another. And I'm going to suggest that if you would address the Word of God with the same mindset that we address the vast majority of our life, that alone, that shift will change your life. Radically change your life. Here's the mindset. How do we address going to work, doing laundry, making meals, taking out the trash?
We have to do it.
Exactly. We have to do it. So do we do it based on, like, when you wake up and that alarm goes off at 5:30, do we think, I don't feel like it, and don't get up and don't go to work? Sometimes. And some of us have a little more flexibility than others, and we're able to do that. But you understand, I'm talking generally speaking. Do we do that? Do we just decide, I'm going to pay the bills when I feel like it? And I mean, literally, if you took it as when I feel like it, let me ask you, how many of you would ever actually really feel like paying the bills? What about taking a shower, making meals for the family, taking out the trash, running errands, fixing the broken whatever in the house, any number of things. We don't do any of these primarily because we feel like it. We do it because if we didn't do it, I would submit to you, in short order, your and my life would be in complete shambles. You would have no power in the house. Your food in the fridge would rot. Your laundry, you wouldn't have any clean clothes left. It would stink. You know what I mean? You may still have a roof over your head for a while because banks take a lot longer to take the house away than they used to. And so you would basically be like a homeless person in your house. You'd stink, you know, car's not running because, you know, you didn't feel like putting gas in it. Or you didn't feel like changing the oil for the last 25,000 miles or whatever. We don't address our life that way. We do it because we need to do it in order to keep the lights on, in order to keep the power going and cook our food, in order to have food in the fridge. I have to go to the store even though I don't feel like going to the store, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very simple mindset. Don't lose this point. Put the Word of God under you, under that same mindset, that it has absolutely nothing to do with how you feel. Get it out from underneath that. It has nothing to do with how I feel. I can tell you how many, I could probably count on two hands and one foot how many times I have felt like praying. I mean, where I was like excited. I don't know, maybe it was more than that. But percentage-wise, let me tell you percentage-wise, it's less than 1% of the time, I would say, that I'm actually excited. I really feel like praying. I don't know. I have to change that a little bit. Let me tell you, when I'm starting out, because I'll go through peaks and valleys. When I'm starting, when I'm like, man, I haven't been doing a good job being in the Word, and I want to go after it, I have no feelings for getting into the Word. But if I am consistent with it, and I just set a, you know, a time, and I just do it, and I do it every single day, it does change. Thank God. I'm grateful for it. I do it anyhow, but it does change where I actually do get to a point where I get excited about getting in the Word. Oh, I got time. I can do it now. I can get in the Word. And I do get excited about it. And similarly, but not quite as often, in prayer. I wish prayer was more exciting, honestly. It is exciting once I'm in it and I'm there for a while and I get to that point where I push through what I call the veil of the flesh and I break into the spirit realm. I can be there for hours and I'm loving it. But getting started, I rarely am like, woohoo, it's time to pray, you know. Now, some people, they've got that on them, man. They just love to pray. I'm not one of those. I pray because I need to pray, because it is really good for me to pray. So all I'm trying to say is, if we approach the Word of God and prayer, and I'm speaking principally about reading the Word, on the basis of, if I do this consistently, the power will remain on in my life. The food in the fridge of my spiritual life will remain full. You know, the house, my spiritual house will be solid and won't be foreclosed on, etc. My spiritual life will be awesome, as opposed to the other way. You know, if you don't pay your bills, you don't do any, you don't go to work because you don't feel like it, you know, you're going to get fired constantly going from one job to another, and there's no food in the fridge, etc. Your life will be in shambles if you apply the rest of your life the way that most of us apply reading the Word. I submit to you the same is the case with most Christians. Their spiritual life is in shambles because they approach the Word of God based on, when I feel like spiritual or whatever, you know, when I feel like, man, I need to get in the Word, I'm going to get in the Word. And that day rarely comes. Yeah, emergencies, you're right. That's usually what drives people to prayer and to the Word, is the emergencies. That's exactly right. I just want to really encourage you, just literally say, hey, you know what? I'm going to shift that mindset. I'm going to do it because it's awesome for me. It will light me up. It's, you know, and so now here's the last thing I would say to that, to make it really practical. Here's what I encourage everyone to do. I've encouraged this to thousands of people, for 30 years. Set a time. It's so simple and yet so powerful. Set a time of the day that you're going to read the Word. Think it through. Figure out what half hour or 1 hour block is good for you that you know you can do every single day. And say, that's it. Come hell or high water, I'm going to sit down and read the Word at that time. Whether it's, you know, a half hour before you eat breakfast or right after you eat breakfast before you go to work, or if it's at lunchtime at work, or if it's right after work, or if it's right after dinner, whatever works for you, find that block of time, set it, and if you find like this may be really difficult for you to do, let me break it down even smaller. Make it 20 minutes and do it for 60 days. Just say, I'm going to do this for the next 60 days, 20 minutes, find a 20-minute slot, set that time. Maybe that's 2 p.m., 3 p.m., you know, 6 in the morning, whatever it is, find that time. That's it. Now what happens, that's you've got that set. Tomorrow, let's say you set it for, you know, 1 o'clock. It's going to be halfway into my lunch, and I'll eat my lunch for the first, you know, if you take lunch at 12:30 and at 1 o'clock. Well, what happens is, you know, you're like, 12:15, oh, I got to finish my lunch up. You know, or whatever, 12:45, I got to finish my lunch up because in 15 minutes I've got a date with the Word. And it's like, it's not something you're just going to, when you find time, you've already set that time. That clock starts speaking to you throughout the day. And it really becomes your friend. It's like, oh, yeah, wait a minute. Hey, Bob, listen, I'm going to have to wrap up this call. I've got an appointment here in about 2 minutes. Okay, yeah, no problem. All right, and you get off that phone, you go get your Bible, and you go get that quiet place, and you get in the Word for the next 30 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it is you've set. Do that and set it for 60 days and see what happens to your life within that 60-day period of time. You will be so encouraged to do another 60 days. And you'll probably bump it up to 30 minutes because you'll be enjoying the fruit of it. All right, so that's the first thing I just want to say about the whole thing is the mindset. Trash the idea that you're going to read the Word when you feel motivated to read the Word. Don't do that any more than you're going to go to work because you feel like going to work or feeding your baby because you feel like feeding your baby. Amen? I don't want to beat that dead too much, but you can't hardly do that one too much. That's so valuable.
You could spend 20 more minutes on that. And sort of
amen.
Maybe 30.
All right, good. Yeah, Derek, would you, just so I can keep teaching, would you take the, yeah, good. I put together some notes. Hopefully it'll help. Oops. That's not what I want. I haven't used this long enough. I kind of forget how to do it. Derek, I might need your help on this as well when you get that set up. I know how to get this turned on, but oh, there it is. It came up automatically. Good. Thank you. You're quick, Derek, I can tell you. Okay, so let's go into this. What does the Word do for us? This is to help build the vision. What's that?
Renews the mind.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you used lime. I thought you were referring to the color of my screen or something. I was like, yeah, I did. Kind of. It is kind of lime. Okay, good. Here we go. I'm going to give you 11 things that the Word does. All right? Number one is it makes us wise. I know that's kind of small. That's because I'm going to fit 11 of them on there one screen. Can you read that? Good. Okay, great. So, number one, this is real, people. Every single one of these is so real.
100% true.
Oh, 100%. Like, this is an understatement. But it makes us wise. There is only one original source of pure spiritual truth in all of the Word. Yeah, good. If you want to take notes, he's got that. Derek, Darius is on it, helping us out with pens and pads there. The Word of God makes us wise. Psalms 19:7 says this, "The law of the Lord," and that word law is referring to the Word, "the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord," again, just another word for the Word of God, "the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Psalm 119:98 says this, "You through your commandments," this is David talking, "you through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." David also said this, he said, "Your word has made me wiser than my teachers." You'll find yourself, as you get into the Word over a period of time, taking on such large amounts of spiritual truth that as you begin to hear the world talking around you, wherever you are, grocery stores or at work or whatever, you hear them talking, more and more what happens, the more you get into the Word, the more nonsensical the world starts to sound. You start to find yourself separating from them in your thought processes, and you hear the literal stupidity of people's words around you. I don't mean to insult the people in the world. That's not the point. What?
You still love them.
Yeah, absolutely. You still love them, 1,000%. Yeah, but you recognize the ignorance of their words. Because it's the Word that's doing it. The Word is separating truth from lies. That's what it does. It purifies your mind and it literally makes you wise. You know, you'll find yourself speaking to people and they'll say, "Man, where do you get this? How do you learn what you learn? I mean, that's awesome. I never thought about that." You cut right to the chase of matters. And they wonder, "Where do you get this?" And it's like so wise. And it is. It really is. Now, here's another really good point. To never forget where you got that. Because, you know, you can start, you know, I kind of am wise beyond my years, aren't I? You know what I mean? And that's ignorance gone to sea. We should just always remember, you know, "God, I'm just so grateful that I'm not walking in the level of stupidity I used to walk in. Your word is making me wise. Thank you."
Making wise the simple.
Yes, exactly. Yes, making wise the simple. Exactly right. Okay, number two. Here's what it does. It feeds our spirit, making us strong in the spirit. There is only one kind of food that can feed the spirit man that's on the inside of us. And it's not human food. It's not dog food. It's not cat food. It's not goldfish food. It's not alligator food, which they eat, I think, anything. But it is only Holy Ghost food. Holy Ghost breathed God food. And that is the Word of God. It literally is food for your spirit. Literally, not figuratively. It's literally food for your spirit. Jesus said, "Desire ye the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." Paul refers to it as milk and meat and bread. Jesus referred to it as water, so did Paul. So it's referred to as water, milk, meat, bread. Sounds like food to me. The Word of God is food for your spirit, and just like your physical body, if you eat, you remain strong, and if you don't, you get weak. If, let's say, for example, Andy and I were to arm wrestle, and Andy could beat me tonight if we were to arm wrestle. If we then go 30 days and Andy doesn't eat and I'm eating well for the next 30 days and then we come back to the table to arm wrestle, what do you think is going to happen? I will throw him around like a rag doll. Yeah, sorry, Andy. We could reverse it, same thing. He eats, I don't eat. He'd throw me around like a rag doll. I would basically look the same, maybe look a little thinner, but basically my muscle would be there, my bones would be there, my body would be there. I would have no strength to resist him. It'd be like, what's going on? This is exactly what happens with our flesh versus our spirit. and you find yourself unable to resist temptations, the actions of your flesh. And the reason is because most of us are not feeding our spirit, but we're constantly feeding our flesh. There's the old story of a man who would bring the two dogs to the dog fights. He was the person that supplied the dogs for the dog fights. All the people would sit around casting their bets, and then the dogs would go after it. And, you know, one would always win, of course. But one guy, a very astute fellow on the side, happened to notice that the guy who brings the dogs also would bet, and he always chose the right dog. So one time he kind of walked off with him, and when he had him off to the side, he said, "How is it that you always know which dog's going to win?" And the guy said, "Oh, it's easy. It's the one I've been feeding for the last 30 days. Yeah, and you know, we have two combating forces on the inside of us. Galatians 5 clearly talks about this. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16, says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit wars against," the word in most translations is lusts against, but it means to war against. "The Spirit," the flesh, "the Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. For these are contrary one to another, causing you to do that which you wish not to do." They're at war. The wise thing to do is to recognize that and to stop feeding the flesh. Don't just feed the Spirit, but stop feeding the flesh and feed the Spirit. Well, how do you stop feeding the flesh? Don't watch the garbage television programs. Don't watch the garbage movies. Don't listen to the garbage music. Don't listen to garbage conversation. Don't, you know, your eyes and your ears are the gates to your soul. Watch what you take into your eyes. Watch what you listen to. Be very careful. If I'm around people who are using foul language, I'll put up with it just for a little bit, because, you know, you got to give people freedom to live their life the way they want to live it. But if I have to be in their presence and they're going to go on, I will very nicely, very lovingly ask them if they would please stop with the foul language. Almost, I don't even know if I can remember a time that someone said, "No, I'm not going to stop cussing." I mean, everyone's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize." And they're fine with it. Just say, "You know what, I'm very careful. I don't want to hear that going into my ears." If I'm in a movie, you know, and a heavy, like, sex scene comes on, God has given us the most incredible tool to wipe that out. Exactly. They're called eyelids. Clink. You know, I don't even like hearing it, but, you know, sometimes I've literally, until, you know, I put my fingers in my ears and start praying in the Spirit. I'm not being ridiculous about it, even though to 99% of the people in the world, I look like I'm being ridiculous. No, I'm actually very aware of what's happening. That stuff is going into my soul. It will affect me, period. If you think that you can handle, I can handle it. No, you can't. You're totally deceived. You can't stop it. It is seeds. It's going into your spirit, into your heart, not your spirit. It's going into your heart, and it will grow and manifest in your flesh. The Word of God feeds our spirit. So this is another beautiful thing that it does for us. Number three, it develops our faith. Romans 10:17, you all probably know this verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is not one single scripture to support the idea of praying for faith. You cannot pray and ask God for more faith. You can only get faith. There's three ways the scriptures teach that you can build your faith. Now, there is the gift of faith. That's different. I'm talking about your faith, building your faith up. The gift of faith is a gift given by the Holy Spirit, a temporary endowment, and you will have faith that's off the charts. There's literally no doubt left in you. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your faith and building your own faith. There's only three ways the Bible teaches that you can build your faith. Anyone want to try and guess what they are? You already know one. What's one? Hearing the Word of God. Exactly. Anyone want to guess what the other two are? That's the same thing. You're hearing the Word of God. No, that's the spiritual gift I was talking about. That's different. So I'm talking about your particular faith. Yes. Who said that? Boom. acting on the word, acting out your faith, by acting on your faith, right? You take on a faith project and you start believing God and you step out in faith. Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 17 as well as other places that this is how you build your faith. They said, Lord, teach us. He didn't say teach us. Lord, increase our faith. And he said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree. And he goes on to talk to them and he says, you can say, you can say, you can say. He kept talking about the saying. What he was saying is you need to take your faith and use it. And it will build your faith. It's like going into the gym. You got to use your muscles. You can't just say, well, I've got faith and never use it. Your faith will diminish. You've got to use your faith. And the third one, this will be more difficult, so I'll just put it out there. The third one is growing in your knowledge of God's love for you. The Bible says if you do that, your faith will soar. Anyone tell me where the best verse of scriptures are on that? There's a lot of them, but I've taught a lot on this one. You should know this one. That's not it. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Philemon 1:6 would be more like the second one that I just said, which is the using of your faith. No, it's both. It's absolutely both. Yeah, good job. Philemon 1:6 says that he said, I pray that your faith, I don't remember if he starts off, I don't remember how it starts, if it's you, I pray, but he says that the sharing of your faith, the communicating of your faith will become effectual. Wait a minute. How's it going?
Through
the acknowledgement of every good thing that's within you. So understanding what's going on the inside of you, but meaning your spirit man, as you meditate on that and understand what's going on the inside of you, and then you communicate that to other people as well, your faith will build. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 is a concentrated place. It really explains this. It says, basically, that through the knowledge of him and what he has done for us, your faith will soar. Through the knowledge of him. So it's three ways. Meditation in the word, specifically just the word in general, getting the word in you. Number two, acting on your faith. And number three, growing in your knowledge of the love of God for you. Those are the three ways your faith builds. So that's what the word of God does for us. Number three is develops our faith. Number four, it is our weapon against Satan's attacks. If you want to be strong against Satan's attacks, you have got to get the word of God on the inside of you. The word is the only offensive weapon mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How did Jesus combat Satan's attack when he was in the wilderness and the enemy came to him with three temptations? What did Jesus say to each one of them? It is written. It is written. It is written. He didn't say, who do you think you are coming against me? Don't you know who I am? Why, I'm the Son of God. I'm Jesus. I'm the anointed one. You know, none of that. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written, and he quoted the scripture, for the scripture is the sword of the Spirit, and it's real. It is a weapon in the spiritual realm, and when you speak it out of your mouth, the devil has to flee, because it will take him out. So he has to flee. It is powerful.
Amen. That is
good. Amen. Number five, it keeps us from being deceived by false doctrines. Man, is this important. If we don't get the word of God into us and on a large scale, we become susceptible to all kinds of doctrines coming down the pike. So, I don't know if I need to say a whole lot about that, but I'll just say this. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says, I guess I will say this is important because we are in the latter days. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, Why? Why will they depart from the faith? Because they just turn away from God? No, they're actually thinking they're absorbing the word of God. They give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, you know where you're going to hear these doctrines? They're doctrines that are being taught.
In the church.
So unfortunate. Doctrines. But they're doctrines of demons. Like putting you under the law. Major doctrine of demons today. Because the enemy knows what that'll do. That will bury you in condemnation. Condemnation will keep you down. You won't be able to do squat, you know, coming against him. You're not going to be healing the sick because you'll be saying to yourself the whole time, well, who am I? I can't do, you know, I didn't do that thing right yesterday and I spoke to my wife harshly and I, you know, condemnation, man, just squashes you like a bug. Yes, sir. Yes.
It literally leads to death.
Yeah, yes.
Bam,
yep. You know, that's a good example, even though that seems like it's so far out there. But if those people had been founded in the Word of God, never would have happened to them. Never would have happened. They'd know, wait a minute. I mean, you know, the first probably a sermon, they'd be like, what? No, that's contrary to what Galatians 6 says and what Romans chapter 4 says. And, you know, they'd be like, I'm out of here. You know, because they have the Word of God and they know that's not true. That's not of God. Okay, next one. What does the word do for us? It equips us to accurately minister to others. So it's one thing for you to have your life, you know, getting renewed and getting your mind renewed and growing in your faith and all that. But what about all the other people? You want to be able to minister to them. And how many of us, we get asked questions, we're afraid to even talk, bring up spiritual conversation because they might ask questions that I don't know any answers to. You know, it shouldn't be like that. We should be in the Word and confident that we have a lot to offer. You don't have to worry about being able to answer everyone's questions, but we should have a lot to be able to offer to the world. It doesn't take long. Spending time in the Word, you'll gain a lot of stuff to offer to the world in short order. The Bible says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman not needing to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a question, asks you the reason, I should say, for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Never haughty, never, you know, always in love, always, 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 always. It is the only one commandment Jesus left us with, to love everybody. Never forget that. We never get self-righteous with this. Well, I've been reading the Word. I know the Word. So, I mean, even though I was saying what they're saying is stupid, of course, we would never say that. We love them. And that includes our own brothers and sisters, you know. I mean, how many times do I get phone calls and from people that are children of God, love God, and they ask me questions, you know, about what should I do in this situation, and I minister to them, to my brothers and sisters, but that's because I've got the Word of God in me to give to them. I've counseled many married people, many married couples, and I've never been married. But it's because I'm giving them the Word of God. And they're able to take that, it's the truth, and apply it, and it changes their marriages. So it makes us wise, even, you know, to be able to counsel other people in situations. All right, so the next one is, makes us true disciples. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 8, verse 31. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Let me say it the other way. You are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word. To abide, do you think that means your 5-minute devotionals? That's right. Abide means to live, dwell, pitch tent, man, hang out. Abide. Dwell, live in my word. It's so awesome. The word of God is so awesome. So, godliness does not just happen. Discipline is the road to godliness and holiness. Paul tells Timothy to exercise yourself to godliness, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. The Lord, of course, works in us, right? But we must submit to him through meditation in the Word. That's one of the major ways we submit to the Lord, is by spending time in his Word. Okay, so the next one is it makes us free. The Word of God makes us free. It's the next verse of the one I just quoted. The first one says, if you abide in my word, you will be my disciples. And then it goes on to say, and you shall know the truth. If you abide in my word, you shall know the truth. And what will it do for you? It will make you free. It'll set you free. And that's literally what the Word of God does. It liberates you, like blowing off condemnation when you realize, wow, I've been forgiven, you know. Realizing God's actually in love with you, that he's not angry with you. These things set you free. Sorry about that. Next one. It produces spiritual growth and maturity. Now, this is different than what I said before, that it makes you strong. What I'm referring to here, I mentioned before that the Word of God is the kind of food. It's the only kind of food that we can take in to feed our spirit man. And this is essential for spiritual growth. But the other thing it does is it brings you into maturity. It's not just growing like you grow up. How many of you know there's a lot of folks in the physical realm, in the natural realm, they grow, they get older and they get bigger, but they don't get any more mature. I mean, I've met some really childish 70-year-olds. You know? I'm thinking of one just recently that I was interacting with. I was like, really? Oh, my gosh. I just wanted to say, dude, get your thumb out of your mouth, man. Grow up. It was just, you know, just total immaturity on this guy. But I just loved him, of course, you know. But I'm just telling you, it's the same as true even within Christendom. I know, you know, there's a lot of Christians been walking with the Lord for 30 years, 40 years, and they're still spiritual babies. Paul wrote a letter to a church and rebuked them because of this. He says, by now you should be teachers, and yet I'm still needing to feed you with milk. Come on! So spiritual maturity comes by reading the Word, where you grow up and become mature in Christ, which is something we really want. God can use us so much more when we're mature. The key element of maturity in walking with God is walking the love walk. You could know the Word inside out, could quote 1,000 scriptures, and if you're a beast with everyone you run into, you are immature. We have got to learn to walk in love. That is the only commandment given to us by Jesus. That's the sign of spiritual maturity. Loving people. And the next one is renewing our minds. The Word of God, you already said that, renews our minds. As we look into the spiritual mirror, which is the Word of God, James 1:23 tells us, we begin to see who we are in Christ and that we are no longer children of the devil. The Word calls this process an awakening to righteousness. As this happens, innately we change into the image that we have seen ourselves to be in the mirror of the Word of God. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. The next one, there's only two left, and I'm going to wrap it up. It enables us to walk free of sin. This is what the Word of God does for us. It empowers us to walk free from sin. This is a natural byproduct, by the way, of renewing your mind. You don't even have to worry about, well, how do I get that part about it freeing me from sin? Just meditate in the Word and let it do its work. It's a natural byproduct. David says it this way, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. And the last one is what the word does for us is that it fills our heart with joy and peace. This is because the word of God is literally pregnant with joy. It's pregnant with peace. It's pregnant with agape love. It's pregnant with self-control. It's pregnant with faith. It's pregnant with long-suffering or patience, same thing. The word of God, literally every single scripture, every single word in the word of God is a seed. And inside of that seed is the DNA of various fruits of the Spirit. And so as you take in the word, it literally goes into your spirit and produces what it's designed to produce. It is exactly the same as it is in the natural. When you eat food, you may think, well, how do I know like what's in this seed or what's in that seed in the word of God? Don't worry about it. It knows what it is, and it will go to where it needs to go. You just get it in you. In the same way that when you eat a steak, do you understand all of the nutrients that are in that steak? No, but you can just eat it. It'll take care of itself, won't it? It will go to where it needs to go. Mainly, like steak has a lot of protein in it, and a lot which is made up of amino acids, and the amino acids know where to go. They just do their thing. You don't have to worry about it. And then there's vegetables, which are loaded with complex carbs. We need the complex, the protein, backing up to that for a minute, the protein is like the building blocks for everything in your body. It's what gives you strong nails and healthy hair and strong bones, builds muscle. We need it for everything. And then the carbs, which come out of the vegetables, those are your fuel. That's what gives you the fuel to be able to go on about today so you're not just laying down because you have no energy. Well, you and I don't really need to understand all that. We just eat it, right? It knows what to do. The same thing is true of the Word of God. Some of the Word is more pregnant with, like one has protein and one has, you know, carbs in the natural. Some has more love in it. Some has more peace in it. Some has more long-suffering or patience. Some has more self-control in it. And if you want to get more of a particular thing, like if you're a bodybuilder, what do you need a lot more of? Protein. So you start pounding the chicken and the beef because you need more protein to make up for the demand you're putting on your muscles. The same is true. If you want to get good and strong in the love walk, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the most concentrated place in all the Bible. That's just that chapter is just dripping with love in those scriptures. Meditate it, meditate it, meditate. Let it become a part of your DNA, and you will find yourself walking in love. Or you can go to other places like Mark 11:23 or Hebrews 11 or any number of other places, Romans 3, 4, and 5, if you want to build yourself up in faith. And you just meditate and meditate and meditate. Actually, the whole gospel of Mark, by the way, great gospel to build yourself in faith. Just read and read and read, and you'll find yourself becoming stronger in faith. And, you know, Psalms is a great place to get control of your mind, your thoughts, your soulish attitudes. It'll straighten it all out. Proverbs will bring wisdom, you know. So you can go to concentrated places like this and meditate in the Word, but all of Scripture is pregnant with the fruits of the Spirit. And so you just get it in you, get it in you. This is why many times when I'm reading the Word, I'm not even concerned terribly if I'm really comprehending what I'm reading. But I read it out loud. I'm getting it in my eyes. I get it in my ears because when I speak out loud, my ears hear it. I'm applying all three gates to my soul. I know it's getting into my soul, and it's feeding my spirit man. It doesn't matter if my mind's not getting it. I still try and comprehend as much as I can, but I'm not worried about whether I'm comprehending it at all. I just keep reading because I know my spirit's got it all. My spirit can handle all of it. It's down there going, oh, yeah, I got it. Come on, keep coming. I got it. I'm taking all that in. Thank you very much. Keep it coming. So you just meditate in the Word, meditate in the Word. And pretty soon you find yourself wise beyond your years, and you don't even know really how it happened, but it's all because of the Word that you got in you. You know what happens then? You go to minister to someone, and all of a sudden, scripture starts coming out, and you're like, where did that come from? And the Holy Ghost is like, because you gave me the building blocks to work from, and he's pulling out scriptures that you put in. He's got to have something to work with, and he'll bring it out. You'll find yourself just speaking the word of God because you took the time to get it into you. Amen? Praise God. So these are just some of the things that the word of God does for us. The next study, we will talk about exactly how to study the word. Different forms, different ways. There's not one way to read the word. There's different ways to study the word of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you so much for your rich word that you've given us. Your word says that it is able to change and convert our souls to be like you. Father, we pray your sealing of this teaching, that the word that has gone forth, Father, would go into our hearts and rest and take root and grow. That it would be sealed by the Holy Spirit, that the devil would have no place in stealing this word out of our heart. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for the seed being sealed in our hearts right now, and that it will come forth 100-fold in every one of our lives, myself included, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory.